All right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order because Bill's clock says so. Okay. Mr. Miller will note that we are all here and that we have all seen the minutes. Do you have those with you? So at some point we'll sign those, but we'll go on with the meeting. Dakota, come forward, please.
Hi, I'm Dakota Locker, and I am student body president.
Get up, seat.
Okay. I'm student body president at Newport High School, and I am representing Newport and Toledo in asking you guys for a waiver or fee reduction in the rental fees for the fairgrounds. Toledo and Newport, we both kind of started out separately coming up with this idea of having a all district dance / social kind of event, just to kind of bring the district together, the four high schools especially, Walport, Toledo, Newport, and Taft. And so our idea was to bring them all to a neutral ground, Lincoln County Fairgrounds, just because we felt that if we were to have it at any of the high schools, there could be some stigma or just kind of some bad blood there. So that's why I'm. Our idea is just kind of to do an all district, just to have just the four school district affiliated high schools come, kind of just do a social dance, hang out, and just to kind of have to bring together the district, just to as that we're not necessarily all in the same conference sports anymore, just because of Newport is 4A. Then you have Toledo and Walport that are 2A that are in the same conference, but they still kind of are separate in a lot of ways because of the distance, and then Taft is 3A. So we're all kind of in separate. We never really mesh or do anything together. So that's kind of why, as student body president, we kind of thought of trying to mend those relationships with the other schools, as there are some stereotypes to an extent. And just kind of bring the district together as we are one group. And we've started doing more stuff with the other schools this week. You probably all know that it's college application week. We've done stuff with the other schools, college fairs we do stuff with. We've actually started doing sporting events with them. We did a jamboree before football season, and that where all of the schools went over to Toledo and did kind of a, so as the associated student body at Toledo and as the representative for the associated student body at Newport, we're wanting a way for a social event to have all of the district come to one place, and that's why we thought that fairgrounds would be the best place.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If we could ask a question. Sounds like a great concept. Are you planning to charge admission?
So we were thinking a low admission just to cover any costs that we may have with the DJ venue costs, if there were any. It would be just a low admission. Hasn't really been decided. We were going to see what you guys thought, or what you guys decided with the waiver or the reduction, and then kind of decide on a price or do something like that. So,
well, just off the top of my head, could I throw out, I don't know, because I'd like to help facilitate this and not like to make the finances a bar, but what about like a dime ahead or a quarter ahead or something?
Who's the official sponsoring organization?
So it is technically, it's the school district is technically it. We have a couple of the administrators on board with us. We're kind of doing some of the broad details, the general details like venue and dates and stuff before we start. And then once that happens, we're going to create a paper plan and then present it to all of the high school administrators. We do have the Toledo principal is on board with it. The vice principal at Newport is on board, and a lot of the staff members at the other schools, and so we do have support. We haven't. We're just trying to get those details. And I mean, to an extent, to answer your question, probably the sponsoring body is The main body, I would say, is the Newport High School Associated Student Body is kind of the main body. We're getting assistance from Toledo, and I think together we're definitely going to co-mingle and do it together, but definitely the Associated Student Body, kind of both of our schools to an extent, yeah.
But it is being overseen by
yes.
the district personnel.
Yes. So our plan was is that for a school to participate, all of the administrator from that school has to attend, and then we will have school-sponsored chaperones. So they will to be a school-sponsored chaperone, they have to go through a kind of an online class per se, and it's just kind of a supervision class. It's recognizing bullying, that kind of stuff, and what to do and how to report it and that kind of thing. So. And that would be, it would be teachers and parent volunteers that would be chaperoning that portion of it. So there would be staff members and school district representatives there.
What would the normal fee be?
We were thrown out anywhere from $3 to $6 maybe. And maybe we were even thinking another idea that was thrown out was doing like 8 and you got a meal in it, or I mean.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about what? Amy.
Oh,
what
no.
Randall. What oh,
the
Randall.
Pardon
me.
Okay.
How many people do you plan?
So with that. And we were kind of basing it off of there's, we really, I mean, to give an exact number, I mean, that would be really hard.
I know, give me a ball. Honestly.
We're thinking 500 maybe, and that's off of, Newport High dance attendance is usually around 40 to 50%, give or take, of the total school population.
Okay.
So a total high school, we have around a little under 1,900 kids high school level. So, I mean, we're thinking 500 to 600 just because we don't think 50% is, that would be like way max, like we'd be happy with that. We're thinking more like around the 40 to 30%, give or take.
Now,
maybe
that.
Well, what about like maybe a $100 minimum, maybe like, and then calculate 25 cents ahead and then set some kind of a maximum, so... You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah,
that,
yeah, I do.
That if that you
mm-hmm.
know that
it's
that
based
you
on
you have some costs,
and that was and I
used to the side,
and I completely understand that, and that's
yeah.
where we can even work out. I mean, if you, I mean, I could get people to. I mean, I know I'm bargaining here, but.
Sure.
If you need, like, volunteers to clean fairgrounds or, I mean, that's even on the table, too, is that doing stuff like that, we do have a pretty large, and the other thing is that as a Associated Student Body, we're working on an all-day community service day, and so if the fairgrounds wanted to be a part of that, we could add that to our community service project and do some, I mean, so we can work with that and get volunteers over there and manpower if you guys needed help with anything.
What do you guys think?
I want to
help them make it happen, not cost burden them, but get some kind of return.
You're planning on charging some kind of minimal entry fee?
You're talking three
yes.
to six.
Yeah, something, it just depends on kind of what we decide, and the whole idea really wasn't, I mean, we'd like to make a return just because it's part of the money is going to go to, it would be split between the Toledo ASB and the Newport High School senior class for their, because it's mostly seniors that are planning it on the Newport side, and then it's their whole ASB that's planning on the Toledo side. And so that was kind of the idea.
So you're going to collect $3, $4, $5 to head out the door, right?
That was an idea, yes.
Well, if that was the case, then we certainly do what Bill was suggesting with regard to 2 bits or 50 cents a head or whatever it is to cover our utility costs
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Well, playing the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to charge, I don't see that there's a burden at all to pay the $500, because if you're going to get 500 people,
mm-hmm.
and it's only a dollar a piece, but And you said the proceeds are going to go to the student body.
Yes, so they would go to student body
accounts. So I think certainly I would want to nod towards a discount, but I don't see a real hardship.
I understand.
You haven't described a hardship.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have some expenses in staging the event, too, but, you know, of course, I don't know. Or what about just a flat fee of $250, maybe? Cut it in half? I don't know what to see.
You're going to have to hire a DJ and so forth.
So we'd have to do a DJ, and that is still in the works, whether we hire a professional DJ or hire a student. We're kind of, like I said, in the initial stages, and so I have just kind of talked with, we haven't actually come together as a group. I've talked, the main contact that I have at Toledo High School is their school counselor, Vicki Roller, and so that's kind of, and she's in charge of their associated student body, kind of, so we've kind of just been talking about it, and I've talked to the students, and kind of, they show a lot of interest in it, and so that's kind of, we haven't necessarily... That would be, I don't want to be in the position where I just decide that now and then it not be it. So, yes, there are going to be costs to it.
What about 50 cents a head or 250 max? So if they pull in 500 or more, it would be 250. If they pull in something less than 500, it would be 50 cents a head. Say they got 400, it would be 200.
Not to exceed
200? 250.
Well,
50
cents a head, not to exceed
250.
$250.
Oh, not to exceed, got it. So it could be 100 if they got 200 people, is what you're saying.
Right.
Right.
Okay. But that way, it wouldn't suck an inordinate amount out of it if the attendance falls substantially below the projected 500. On the other hand, if they make the 500, they'll get half what our normal rental fee will be, $250.
Yeah, that sounds real fair to
you guys.
Yep.
Got a motion? I'll move that we, what are we officially calling this?
Just a district social event, or an all-district social, that would be a perfect word for it, yeah.
I'll move that with respect to the planned all-district social event at the fairgrounds, charge a fee of 50 cents a head, not to exceed a maximum total of $250.
I'll second the motion.
All right, so this is a discussion time, and I would only want to know about the legal issue. Who is the contractor?
School district.
It would be the school district, yes. And so what? It would either... it would probably be, depending on what, it would probably be under the Toledo High School. So, and I know it's screwy, but that's just because the main, and it's weird because it's a senior class thing on the Newport side, but it's a associated student body thing on the Toledo side. So technically we're probably going to make it to our main advisor for the project is Vicki Roller, which is the school counselor at Toledo. And so it would be contracting with Toledo High School to an extent, but it would be both organizations. I don't know exactly how.
Your coming to us is a form of education, so bear with us, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The legal aspect of who we are contracting with, you believe, is the county school district.
Well, let's back up just a second now. Have they made an application, Amy, to reserve it or submitted any paperwork?
I've spoken briefly with Dakota and with Adam Scarberry at Newport High School, and I'll just deal with the adult that signs it.
Exactly. We'll either deal with the school district as a whole or Toledo High School.
Yes.
Next to them.
Okay.
Either way, they've got
system. We got that covered. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we would let it, it might be the student body, for instance, that would be, quote, sponsoring organization, but with a counter signature from this counselor.
Okay.
Dakota has just mentioned, right, and it would be that adult that countersigns.
Okay.
That really Amy and so forth we would be dealing with, if that makes sense to you guys. And Amy, that makes sense to you, right?
Yeah.
We've done this before. We've done other events. Like
okay.
This,
so. Mm-hmm. I'm good as long as we've done it before. We cover the security part.
We'll cover those issues. We'll cover all that.
Got it.
Part okay. of it. Okay. All you're doing, actually, all you're altering from the normal process we do is the amount.
Got it. All right. Okay. In that case, then, I think we can vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Very good. Thank you, Dakota.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. And my email's there. If you guys need any help with the fairgrounds cleanup project or anything, you can contact me, and that would be a...
I apologize for one thing, because I stepped in and out. Did you? Is the day open that you're looking for?
It would be in March, so it would have to be...
And Saturday night or Friday night?
A Friday night or a Saturday night. So I'll have to just talk with Amy and get at a set date.
Yeah, of course, this is contingent on availability.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
And with regard to potential work on the fairgrounds, you can talk with Amy and check where they are facilities.
Okay.
The person behind you there.
Okay, thank you.
All right, very good. So how shall we proceed on the next item? Because
I might suggest you've actually had your presentation at your last fair board meeting, so you've had an opportunity to kind of digest, and I'm sure you may have some questions for Mr. Mann, but this was really an opportunity to see if there's any public input at this point, too. So
okay.
I might want to start off with just seeking any public input at this point.
All right. So it's been on the website. And so it's been available. And do we have any public comment about the report as it was distributed? Yes. Why don't you come forward?
Yes. Thank you. I'm Emily DeHuff, the president of the Board of Focus, Friends of Lincoln County Animals. And we're a tenant of the fair at present. And we, of course, have a strong interest in remaining tenants of the fair, of the county, at that location. We did notice that in Mr. Mann's report, he didn't really address the pros and cons of having a thrift store, or particularly our thrift store, remain on that property. The only reference to it was a suggestion that there didn't seem to be a compelling reason for it to be there, and the suggestion that it might, depending on the direction the plan takes, be asked to leave and find another location. We would like to take this opportunity to reiterate the benefits to the county and to the community of having the Pick of the Litter thrift store as part of the commons. We're, of course, thrilled to see that the concept of the property has changed from a fairgrounds as such to a commons. And we feel that that broadened mission really more strongly embraces the idea of an operation such as ours being there, because we benefit not only the county directly, but we benefit the community at large. Directly and indirectly, and I'd just like to hit some of those bullet points quickly. Of course, the direct benefits to the county are that we pay cash rent every month, and Amy, I have a check for you. And we provide direct support for a county entity, namely the Lincoln County Animal Shelter. I would like to dispel a common misconception in the community that just because we've broadened our mission beyond the Lincoln County Animal Shelter, that we're not really dedicated to supporting the animal shelter anymore. We do still support directly and to a very large extent the Lincoln County Animal Shelter. We pay for all of their pre-adoption spay, neuters, and associated expenses, including microchipping, which runs to now about $35,000 a year. We also pay directly for a shelter program to provide spay and neuter for the clients of their pet food bank. They're not shelter animals, but they're pets that would probably end up in the shelter if the people couldn't afford to keep them. So the shelter has started that program, and we fund it. We also pay for extra things that the shelter needs that are not in their budget, such as, you know, new laundry equipment if they need it. We bought them a license tag engraving machine. We buy all the little peripherals for the cat kennels and that sort of thing whenever they ask. We provide some indirect benefits to the county as an entity also, in that the programs that we've started up since we've changed our mission and now support animals outside the shelter, there are two main programs that we fund now. One is a veterinary care assistance program, and the other is a spay-neuter subsidy program for residents of the county. Both of these are not only benefits to the animals and the people who love them, but they are a sort of shelter diversion program. If this kind of support were not available to members of the public, a lot of those animals more than likely would end up at the shelter. So that helps the shelter too, even though it isn't in cash. And of course, going beyond that into the commons concept, we do provide benefits to residents of the county, just ordinary members of the public, whether or not they have pets, by providing quality goods at low prices in hard times. They say thrift stores, like lawyers, do well in good times and in bad. So we like to think we're helping, regardless of whether our economy continues to improve. And we also provide social support. We provide gift cards. It's a voucher program, so-called, but what we do is really make our typical customer reward gift cards, $10 gift cards, available through local social service agencies. Department of Human Services, places like My Sister's Place and Samaritan House, the high schools dealing with their homeless and low-income students. And they can determine how many cards each recipient should get. We provide them a certain number each month, and they can adjust that. So we're providing a safety net for people in need in our community as well. And of course, if we had to leave the building that we're in now, the Floral Building, and seek a commercial property anywhere to rent or lease or buy or build, that would deeply, deeply cut into the money that would be available to support the shelter and our other programs. So, of course, we're hoping that the county in its deliberations will decide that this is a great benefit to the county and to the community, and it is compatible, especially with the redefined mission of this property and the vision for this property, and will decide that it's a positive good to have us there, and perhaps to attract other similar, compatible, permanent presences on the fairground, because I think the county has noted in the past that just having activity on that property is good subliminally and from a practical standpoint. So we hope that you'll take all these factors into account when determining the uses of the property, and of course we will be happy to talk about mitigations and accommodations, any way in which we can make this a more attractive and more obvious option for the county. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who would like to offer some observations or comments on the report? All righty. Don, do you want to come up and just for the record and for the tape recorder, tell us, have you gotten any feedback since last month?
Mr. Chairman and other members of the board, no, I have not received any comments or anything in writing or phone calls. And it was suggested, I think, at our last meeting that we held, that there could possibly be some additional public meetings outside of this one for further comment or other recommendations. And I appreciate what Emily had to say, and the focus of the intent of the report or my recommendations was to look at, you know, what is the good for the overall fairgrounds. And even though there was not a lot of time spent, I did spend some time with Emily at the beginning of the project and got a better feel and for what Focus does, and I appreciate Emily's comments. And no disrespect for the program, and I mentioned it here that it is important to the community and there should be some consideration given. I only picked a five-year span there to give enough time to make any final considerations. And again, Emily points out today that, you know, there is some really good spinoff from having the thrift store there and their contributions to the community. So I think that's good input, and I think it's good information for the board to consider as you make final decisions on how you move forward. Overall, I think that the board... the fair board's on the right track on what they want to do. I think this is a good start. And if there are any additional meetings that need to be held and I can participate and help out, I'd be certainly willing to do that.
Great. Yes, Mr. Chair, question. I wasn't at the last meeting for your presentation, but I have read your report. With regard to Focus, my reading of it, at least, is that the moving of Focus is something to consider, but not a hard recommendation that, in fact, Focus staying there long-term would not be inconsistent, if you will, with what you might recommend.
Jim, not at all. I think that it's a fit. I think that it's probably a program that's going to continue to grow rather than get smaller. I mean, that... Large contribution there, and maybe there's a way it could better benefit the commons as well. So, in the future, so you know, maybe with some additional input and planning, and how it could operate even considerably better into the future, and what it contributes to the commons might be something that the board could consider.
And also. What you're basically saying in the report is that at the earliest we would be doing some real hard planning and design work in 2018, with the earliest possible construction being 2019.
That's correct.
Correct in that.
Right.
So
and the reason for that. Right.
3-4 years out on this.
Exactly.
And yes, you talk about exactly.
Right.
Except my vision on the timeline, I mean, it basically with what most of that, my understanding was correct, except on the possibility. I mean, if we give this the blessing and then the Board of Commissioners blesses it, you know, I'm thinking it makes sense, you know, if there's enough buy-in that we, you know, and we do look at the room tax measure, whatever we decide would be an appropriate level, that go on the ballot as soon as May of next year. And if that passes at that point, you know, we've talked about a public design charrette process to start envisioning, you know, I mean, I think if we're not talking about construction until 2019, if we got the room tax measure passed and could start banking money and start the public process to envision what the ultimate design is going to look like, that could start as soon as next summer.
I guess my thought is that it's, if you will, way too early to decide the fate of the thrift store.
Definitely. What I told
we need to jump through some other hoops,
right,
and so forth, like this room tax thing and so forth. We or the Board of Commissioners will be in a position to actually make a decision, if you will,
back
to the thrift store and Focus on site. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we would, if you will, make that decision at this point in time.
No, we can't.
We can't.
No. I had a real good meeting yesterday with Emily and Frank Sherko of Focus, and you know what I explained was I think that Don's recommendation and to look at the building as part of the overall plan is simply at this point more of a case of saying let's keep as many options open as possible, because as we talked about in some of the meetings when people were starting to envision what the new commons would look like, that, you know, they were talking, you know, if we do get into some things like relocating the arena, relocating the exhibit hall, the question came up at least a couple of times, well, what if that building ends up being kind of in the way of an overall development that makes sense otherwise, that we just didn't want to lock ourselves in one way or the other at that point. And even if the building does go, that doesn't preclude us from relocating them somewhere else on the commons as well. So just having a conversation, exploring options is, I think, all we're looking at this point.
Does this kind of make sense to you, Emily?
Okay. Yes.
We really can't answer the question at this moment.
It certainly
does. Won't be able to for some period of time, depending on how other things that Mr. Mann has recommended play out.
Yeah. Yeah. At the beginning of this process, I think you said the building was in good enough shape to be moved.
I don't know. That's a stick-built building. I don't know if I recall correctly. Or at least part of it is after we did some serious work in it.
Well, it basically went down to studs, didn't it?
Yes, and that's why I say I don't know that building is really truly movable, but... I guess you can move anything if you're willing to put enough money into it, but by the point would be it's probably cost prohibitive. But in any case, with regard to focus, I just don't think we're in a position to
thank you for that input,
but we don't have any way of giving anybody an answer at this particular moment.
I encourage Emily to share that input with us, and then if and when the public design process materializes, to provide it at that point as well.
I think I want to offer a perspective. Having been involved with this process for the number of years I have, I find the existence of the thrift shop an accident of history and not a deliberate plan on the part of anybody. We have now a vision and a mission statement that talks about this place, which is rooted in the Oregon Revised Statutes about what you do on places like this. If the thrift store profits were exclusively reserved for the commons, I would probably have a different attitude than as it is now, because now we should be available to any organization in our community to raise funds for something that has nothing to do with the commons, which is essentially what is the case right now. And rental aside, I'm talking about what all the rest of the money does. I know we're getting rent for the property, so. And all I'm saying is I'm sharing Frank Geltner's observation of the last 6 or 7 years. And I know that that was originally a Fair Board project that was there essentially to raise money for the fairgrounds. And then along came this other arrangement, but it was not to raise money for the fairgrounds. It was to raise money for... which is perfectly legitimate, but it would be also legitimate for us to open it up and say we want other community organizations to come in. And
perhaps they should.
Yeah. So that's all. I mean, that's all. That's just feeding my thinking as we go forward. Yeah. What I do with those thoughts is something else entirely. Yeah.
One thing I failed to mention specifically is that historically, since the end of 2012, when we broadened our mission, the ratio of money that we dedicate to the shelter versus spending on our larger community programs remains about 2-to-1. We always thought it would be at least half, but in practice, and our intent is to keep it at least, you know, 2 parts for the shelter and 1 part for these community programs that also serve as a shelter diversion program. We'd be happy to formalize that.
Yeah, I know there are other options down the road, so... So with 1 month since you gave this to us, have you any other thoughts?
I don't, and I guess at this point it probably would have been good to include some additional background on the thrift store activities. But I think there's still time to give a lot of consideration to how that all plays out. And now, you know, everything's in the think tank, I think, at this point. And there'll be plenty of time to figure out how this will shape up as you get into more design and engineering. And
Mr. Chair, yes. Since we have Mr. Mann here today, I'd like to discuss a different topic with regard to the fairground. A couple of months ago, I raised the idea of a substantial recapitalization of the utilities on the site, and we have county staff right now working on that. There is nothing to present to the board at this particular point. I will be meeting with them probably the first or second week in December for a progress report. But
we were going to target to deliver a list to the December Fair Board meeting, weren't we?
I believe that will be the case. And I had a conversation with Steve Potts, the county engineer, this morning about this, because he's basically, I think, the lead principal that's working on this for us. When we initially started that project, we did so, there were a couple of thoughts. One was to make the existing grounds much more user-friendly, if you will, from a utility standpoint. Secondly, to put in place a good share of the utility improvements we would need for a new structure. What wasn't in that thinking was really the preservation of a couple of the existing structures. I think the thrift store was, or what is now the thrift store, that building was in the plan, but not, as Mr. Mann has suggested, possibly the Harmony or I think it's the livestock arena.
Right.
And so my question for Mr. Mann is, do you see any conflict or problem with us proceeding with the utility upgrades to the site? And if what we're talking about is the big ticket items like power to the site and so forth, we're not talking about just little building maintenance here.
Water, sewer.
Water, sewer, electric, area lighting, all of those things. Do you see any real problem or conflict with us proceeding with that utility work and with the understanding that, and I talked again to Mr. Hodge about this morning, factoring in now, though Harney and Livestock as well as thrift store staying and that being factored into our utility plan.
Yeah.
Do you see any problem with what we're talking about here?
No, and I don't. And I think the only big unknown is, what size facilities will you have eventually? And upgrading the power and any upgrades on water volume that's coming to the site and where it's located will be important. I think the main configuration that has been discussed is no matter where you build buildings or what buildings you keep, I think where the water is located now and your power source is in a location where if you upgrade it now, you can spin off from there once you start construction. So there's no conflict at this point in upgrading the up to the property lines or where it's at now. Matter of fact, it would be a benefit if you can get that done now, and then later when you decide where the buildings are going to be, bring your conduits in and your water lines and stormwater.
Right, and that, of course, is what we're really working on with this utility thing. The other thing is that we have recognized that once we start touching things like the power, for instance, we're going to have to go and do some upgrades in the buildings themselves to bring everything into code or to pass code for what we're talking about doing. Initially, we had thought that some of that, a small percentage of it, would be lost if, in fact, we demoed all of those buildings and built a new structure. But if we were to say the Harney building and the Livestock Arena, ultimately, then the work we would be doing in those now as part of this utility would in fact not be lost, mm-hmm. but would be there for future. So I only see, if you will, good coming out of what Mr. Mann has recommended regarding the structures.
Could I say something in response to that? I mean, and even if in a worst-case scenario, some of that is lost with demos, I'm still in favor of it at this point, given that this is 2015 and we're talking about construction in 2019 probably at the absolute soonest.
Correct.
And, you know, we still need to keep the grounds functional in the meantime. And I'm still going to advocate, we had discussion that tying into this package to make it a real nice big package is some of the things we talked about, you know, cattle panels, another set of bleachers, replacing those folding chairs that are look like they've been through a couple of hurricanes, and you know, some power washing and painting, and
right.
You know, and just when, on Saturday, I was wondering how long since, for example, the roof of the outdoor stage has had new shingles. You know, some of those things that just, you know, to hopefully, you know, we've put a lot into cleanup the last few years and just trying to make it functional by squeezing nickels and dimes. But there's enough, you know, that I think let's make it a nice total package is what I want to advocate for. Big and small stuff, too.
I guess to summarize what I'm thinking is that what Mr. Mann has put forth in his report, possibility of saving a building or two that we not initially considered, and the fact that he's talking about the very earliest in construction in 2019 actually adds emphasis, additional emphasis, to proceeding with the utility work in particular that we have discussed.
Yep.
And so that's really my point.
I think totally with you.
What we start is that emphasis on getting that done as soon as we can.
I guess my only thought would be that when we get close to making our final decision on what improvements that we include the 4-H people and the Celtic people, maybe two of the larger users, just to be sure that the stuff they see in the next 3 years is covered. And other than that, I agree with Bill. I mean, we might have some demolition to do down the road simply because you can't predict everything.
Right.
Right. And interestingly enough, too, what I'm talking with the staff about is in not only the upgrade of utilities like power to be adequate for improvements that we might make in the future, but also probably the demolition and or removal of some things that are on the site that represent a potential conflict with where we've talked about siting the building. For instance, we have some sewer lines that are crossing the site and would be in the area of the footprint of the proposed building. Well, it only makes sense if we're going to go in and do major utility work now. And in addition to do, you know, the work to improve the utilities, there may be some potentially like that sewer line that we're also going to remove at this time in preparation again for the improvement of the grounds. So there's really two components to it. One is an improvement of the utilities, but the other might be the abandonment, if you will, and removal of certain other utilities to make the space available.
Mr. Chair, relating to one thing you said, I haven't heard that we've gotten any official notice on this, but I was at a public meeting the other day where I heard that the Celtic Heritage Alliance has decided to move the event to Toledo next year.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Have we had any official contact with them?
No confirmation.
Yeah. Interesting. I heard that they, not any issues with the fairgrounds, but just the
wind.
But yeah, that exactly what I heard, that they thought June was too cold and windy and hoping for better weather in Toledo.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the improvements we're talking about on utilities are going to just make the site generally more usable.
Right.
For everybody, and the utilities more dependable.
Right. Like we had on the first day of fair this year.
Plus, we're talking about an absolute minimum, if we even do it, 4 years before we start working.
Right.
So, again, this whole discussion to me just adds
yeah.
emphasis to let's get in there and get those utilities fixed.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to Mr. Weisman's recommendations on upgrades on utilities, as he knows, when you start in making improvements on the entrance end, it's like water flows downhill. And in order to meet code, you end up upgrading a lot of things that you're going to be tearing out anyway. So that's just something to keep in mind. But I think it's probably going to be needed if you're going to maintain your main exhibit hall, the Harney Building, and the other facilities that you have there for the next 3 or 4 years. So, and I take a hard look at that as far as your overall budget. I mean, it's easy to improve and upgrade your main sources coming into your property, but the end result is you have to upgrade some other, all your panel boxes and your plug-ins and wiring. And so it's just something to keep in mind as the board decides how much of a budget they want to spend on upgrades.
And we recognize that if we proceed, that there are going to be some portion of that work that's going to have to be done now that will, in fact,
go away.
If we do a demo, let's say, the exhibit hall now.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, at this point at least, and we don't have cost numbers or anything, that's what we have staff working on, it seems to make sense to upgrade the utilities and make this site with more user-friendly, if you will, in that regard. Even though at some point down the line we might lose some portion of that.
Sure. I mean, some of your equipment you'll be able to always keep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No doubt. So,
in terms of the report, from I guess procedural standpoint, Wayne, in approving this, I want to observe that I hope we're not approving it verbatim.
That could be part of your motion.
Because, you know, Mr. Mann has given us a lot of thoughts and ifs and whats and so forth, and I just want to avoid, you know, that person coming back and saying, well, we agreed to this back in 2015. I realize we're just taking and making a motion to forward this to the county commissioners, and at that point, really, it's their property. I mean, because there are implications in this, even though it's not stated, where there's likely at the end of the process to be a fair board and then another group that manages the commons. And so there are a lot of things in here that aren't spelled out in great detail. And then there are just little things like, you know, the use of words, facility versus store, you know, some thoughts like, you know, where it says move farther north of the property. Well, north of the property would mean north of 7th, and I know you did not mean that. So little things like that I believe we can agree that there are in this report some broad strokes suggested, the most major being that we've got to find a connection between the urban renewal process and what we're doing.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, and I think the title of the report is Recommendations to the Board and to the Commission. And if the board was to accept and take into consideration all these recommendations rather than approving the report, I don't think you need to approve it. You accept the recommendations and take them under consideration.
Right.
And my thought was in the motion that we would use the language conceptual words to that effect.
I've got some language I'd like to propose and see what the two of you think.
Before you do that, I just want to bring up one other thing, Wayne, and that is with regard to infrastructure improvements that would be made, I assume that would come out of the so-called $1.2
million.
$1.4 million.
Yes.
And the drift of where I'm going with this is whether or not in the future, and you would know this also from your work with the port, you know, whether we need to have in hand a certain amount of money that would be offered up for matches and grants and so forth and so on, and that we not saddle ourselves in early decisions that we would have found 2 years later we regret. So can you just speak to that generally?
Sure.
And no, Don, too, if you want.
Well, first of all, as Don had mentioned, one of the linchpins for this whole redevelopment plan is the urban renewal. And we've got to be working real closely with the city in terms of, you know, that's, it's broadly mentioned, it's very specifically mentioned in the urban renewal plan, but we all need to make sure, you know, what's their vision of what we're doing here? Does it coincide with our vision? So we're going to have to make sure that there's a connection there in terms of the particulars. I think that it's absolutely right that we might be able to utilize the money we've got available and the revenue stream we've got available together with the cities to leverage additional funding. And I think that's something we've got to keep in mind as we go forward. That's one of the things that fits, you know, this is the conceptual idea. There's a lot of details around the financing, both in terms of, that we've talked about, the financing of the actual construction and development of the commons, but also then the operational side of things. Making sure that both sides, you know, work together and we have that all covered is a key here. So we'll be looking at that very, very closely.
Correct. To your point, I think one thing, I don't know that Wayne directly addressed there that I was hearing from you, was a concern that we not spend down the $1.4 million too far.
Right.
And it sounds to me like, I don't know, just from a brief conversation I had with Mr. Beisman after the last meeting, you know, since you're still working on your list, but even if we throw in some of the other improvements, you know, that like I've talked about and Todd's talked about, upper limit, we might be talking $250,000 and possibly somewhat less than that from all of this. So that's not going to, you know, that's not going to spend it down by any means. It is going to take a chunk of it.
Well, it is going to grow each year.
Yeah,
it's
going to continue to grow.
Yeah, going down on 2019, it will continue to grow.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so, to address Bill's point, yes, I mean, we're talking in the range of $200,000-$300,000 at least initially.
Uh-huh.
I will hopefully have a much better idea of what we're talking about in regard to the utility side of things after I meet with the staff, and then hopefully in December. And then based upon how that number looks, we can start talking about adding some of these other items that mentioned, that Todd's mentioned and so forth, the bleachers maybe, or something of that nature. But I'm sorry about being so vague at the moment, but until I see what the story is on the utilities, I can't really address it. But again, my initial thought was we'd be in the $250,000-$300,000 range.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be locked to that, because
right.
until I get that feedback from staff, I won't have a real good feel for this.
Okay. Well, before Bill gives his motion, did you have any other thoughts on...
The only thing I would say is, you know, the opportunity to seek other funding, you know, is always going to be available. There was a new announcement that just came out this past week of EDA funding for public facilities, and there's no deadline on application. They'll keep accepting applications, and usually that's about a 50% match. You're talking about match, and that could be for public infrastructure public building. So there's opportunity there, and maybe it's an opportunity for the county to look at that. I can send the information to Wayne just to take a look at it.
With regard to that program, do they accept soft match as well as hard match?
I believe they do, Jim. Mm-hmm. I believe they do.
And so
in-kind labor.
We might be able to go and leverage the utility improvements.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Soft match.
Perfect. If that would work.
Right. And David Porter is the contact. I don't know if you've ever met David Porter. He's from Portland area, but he's the EDA rep for the region. But I'll send that link to Wayne.
Okay. All right, Bill.
Okay. Let me throw this out, and if you want to massage it or if it captures what I think is the sentiment that I'm hearing. I move that we formally accept Don Mann's report and endorse its principal concepts for consideration and action by the Board of Commissioners.
That sounds fine to me with that. I'll second.
Okay. And I assume using the word report implies recommendations.
Yes.
Or would you be happy to just have it say recommendations?
Sure.
Okay.
That we formally accept, or what about report and recommendations?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the revised motion would be for Casey's benefit as he transcribes. I move that we formally accept Don Mann's report and recommendations and endorse its principal concepts for consideration and action by the Board of County Commissioners.
Again, I'll second that.
All right, very good. So, any more discussion on that? Any thoughts before we vote? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, it's unanimous.
Okay.
I want to go back to the thrift store thing briefly, and that is, I personally would like to know in the future whether or not that building can be moved.
Okay.
And what the cost would be. And if I could make an assumption, let's just say that the space that's directly east of the Harney building, that used to be RV spaces and stuff like that, is it conceivable you could move that building there?
I'll answer the question this way. You give me enough money. That's the problem. Yeah. It's not a question of whether or not I can move that building. I can move that building.
But whether you can,
whether I can do it in a cost-effective manner, and whether or not you'll have any left when I get done.
Yeah, so that would be the question.
That's going to be the real question.
Is it going to cost $5,000 to move the building versus, say, $60,000? Rebuild a similar building in the similar space,
right.
Or is it $20,000 to move it? Similar.
We can get you a Jack. Maybe that's got a
lot. I just put this to sleep right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
cannot move that building.
We had that
conversation. It would be cheaper to clone it because it's a pole barn. There is no substructure. There is no footing.
Okay.
I mean, okay. Jack is saying the same thing. I was saying only in a different manner, which is so could we do it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did it cost?
We're not done with this discussion.
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Very much. Now, I
Thanks
assume
for the opportunity.
That is Don now out of business?
No, because I think we'd like to have him come and, before the Board of Commissioners.
Do you have any dates when that'll
be?
Just email it to me. Okay.
I don't think that was Mr. Mann either, not only with respect to making presentation to the Board of Commissioners, but there may be some further public input things that the Board of Commissioners might want him to conduct, for instance.
I'll just stand by.
No, I don't think he's got a
business. Thank you.
So with respect to future governance, I don't know what you can say about this, Wayne, but I assume that any future fair board is only going to be dealing with the fair. Is that a correct assumption?
Not necessarily. That is an option.
Okay, yeah. That is an option.
Yeah, the models around the state, there's 36 counties, and I think there may be 36 models.
Okay. Because there are clearly some things in the recommendations in the report that would call for the gathering of some group.
Yeah, I mean, legally we have to have, unless the statute changes at some point, we have to have a fair board of some type.
Oh, absolutely. There will be a fair board.
Yeah, okay.
But what its role is, whether it continues to be like this one or back to a more traditional one or some other model, that's still to be determined as well.
So before we get to the county staff update, Todd, would you come forward, please, and Michelle, and there were some thoughts in the report.
Mr. Chair, did we ever vote on the motion?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did vote, right, Casey? Yes.
Okay.
We have so much fun. Did you get to look at the report? Okay. There were some comments made about 4-H and the future. Mm-hmm. I would just like to hear any observations you might have.
Sure. As I said very early on in the process, in order for this to be successful, it's got to encompass or incorporate the community's views, not just 4-H's, not just what we want. I've never felt unsupported. I felt like you guys have always considered our needs in what you're doing and planning. I understand that this is still a very nebulous plan, but I don't see anything that interferes with the 4-H program. From my perspective, it's two thumbs up. I think making improvements going forward only benefits the community and what we're trying to accomplish, 4-H included. And you have my support from 4-H completely. One quick comment I had, just with regard to capital improvements in the next 4 years prior to the building project, it seems to me that looking at or having the small tangible improvements like chairs, like painting and pressure washing, tying those to the large capital improvements like utilities is probably a mistake. I'd like to see those two be separate and not wait for the small tangible things until after we see what the big improvements are going to cost. I think there are small things that can be done to the fairgrounds right now that will make it more serviceable that need to be done in that next 3 to 4 years, regardless of the outcome of the big utility projects. So I would encourage you guys to not link those two, but look at them as separate projects maybe, and things that we can do immediately to make the usability of the fairgrounds better, and then the longer term huge capital improvements to the utilities that obviously need to happen as well.
I agree with Todd, at least to this extent, in the pressure question and painting and so forth is probably not going to be in what we're going to. On the other hand, bleachers, which are substantial expenditure, that's not a maintenance item, those may very well be part of that project. So with that understanding, I think Todd and I are on the same page.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we can move this all along is all that I want, whether it's in one big package, a series of packages, just so it starts moving.
And by the way, Todd is part of the working group that's working on the utility project, so we will have his input in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so any other developments since the fair?
Only one. We learned today that the carnival took a big hit and is not willing to come back. Okay. So we're back at square one, trying to figure out what to do for a carnival
big
again
hit
this year.
In what sense? What they did not.
They the comment to us was they lost about as much as the carnival grossed. So the carnival grossed about $21,000. They think it cost about $42,000 to put the carnival on. So they are unwilling to come back. And just to put those numbers in perspective, $21,000 is about what the carnival had grossed in the previous 3 or 4 years each year. That number is about the same, and they were able to do that on a weekend that had a very rainy Friday. So they really were able to accomplish that in a Saturday and half of a Sunday. So their numbers were up, I think, from what previous carnival numbers had been, which corresponds to the gate attendance that we saw and that. But it wasn't enough for Funtastic to be able to commit to next year. So we're back to square one on dates and carnival and trying to figure out how that all looks. It took us about a month to run them to ground and get an answer, but I just did this morning. So
okay.
Party.
Oh, party. Party. Michelle's hosting a party.
Yes. No, hopefully the word has gotten to you, but we want to just make sure the community knows we're just celebrating the success of the fair and want to thank the community on all levels, from sponsors to the attendees, to come out and say thank you to them. It's at the Rogue Brewery over in South Beach. They're kind of helping us put that on in that sense. And 5:30 on Friday, just we're inviting the world and saying come celebrate this year and tell us what you want.
This coming Friday.
Tell us what you want for next year.
November
6th. And everyone's invited, not just vendors, not just sponsors. We want people that want to be involved next year. Come one, come all.
Okay. All right, very good.
Yeah.
All right.
One other very small development, I'll work with Wayne on this, but I did get approval from my association last night to up our insurance to cover the public as riding at the fairgrounds. So now I think we can finally move forward and get that back open for public riding, regardless of whether people are PEC members or just the general public. So we're on track finally after a couple long months of figuring out how to make that sustainable to move that forward.
So speaking of that, in that correspondence that went on this past week about the Otis property, would that ever factor into our articulation of the general commons? In other words, there was a horse property on the north part of the county, and I was wondering, was that just, did you make an observation about that generally, or did you see some possible manifestation of that within what the fairgrounds has traditionally been about?
Yeah, I guess the answer would be the latter, that I'd been contacted, and I think, let's see, didn't I copy you in on those emails? Todd, a property owner in Otis who already has, has acquired a very large swath of that property, has a private stables there, and realizes, I think, that the development potential of a lot of that property is limited, and just threw out the idea that, well, could the county partner in developing an outdoor enclosed arena on his property? And I said, well, an intriguing idea, and I think, perhaps broadening it to a more general use community park or facility would be something to explore. I think an exclusive horse facility would probably be, difficult sell to narrow up a focus. But if that was, one of the principal activities there, and perhaps, again, we're going so many down the road with a few ifs, but if we do decide to send out a funding package next year to put sideboards on it that are, narrow enough and yet at the same time broad enough, I really like if all of these pieces would fall into place, and we've still got to explore what the development potential and potential constraints are with zoning, wetlands, floodplain, etc. on this property. But say all the stars could align, I like the idea very much of perhaps bundling that into a proposal that goes to voters to, have more than one facility, that this isn't necessarily just exclusively that it's commons focused, but
where I'm coming from.
It broadens the public appeal.
Mostly it has to do with on the acreage, which is here in Newport, if another site for horse kind of events were to be developed, would we still have the need to have that in the commons here? In other words, it's sort of like the community college has a north, south, central, blah, blah, blah. Would we ever conceive of the functions of the commons being split up because a horse kind of central facility might be better somewhere else? Because, we don't have that many acres. So I just wanted to know if that's something where it doesn't even fit into this conversation.
I think it potentially does, but I guess, Todd, maybe the question would be like, okay, say again, if all the stars align, the redevelopment of the commons proceeds, and this North County facility happens, would we want to look at potentially having the 4-H horse fair up there, or do we still want to make it a priority to have the capacity to do it in here?
My gut
says
that maybe there are things that you could split out in the commons. Horse would be a tough one because you're talking about people hauling to you know, you've got large animals, trailers, and trucks that you're hauling every time you want to do an event or a practice. It's very convenient to have the horse arena located here centrally, where nobody's hauling a long distance. I suspect if you wanted to move the horse facilities to the extreme north and almost east part of the county, we would lose participation from people that felt ostracized or alienated that lived in the South County or central east part of the county. That would add quite a burden to them to have to haul that far every single time they wanted to use it.
So is the distribution of horse activity truly countywide?
Yeah, it is. It's
so the best public benefit is that it be centralized.
It seems to me that that's the case. Okay. Yes.
That's really all I wanted to know.
At the risk of overstepping, my thought would be if putting money into a horse property is the common thinking and covering a horse property, doing it somewhere here central would make more sense than doing it at an extreme edge of our county.
Great, that's all I wanted to know. Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Don. Thank you.
And before I go to the county staff update, the one remaining and most persistent member of the Blue Ribbon Committee, Linda Neigenbauer, do you have any observations to make after all these years?
I'm fine. I agree with Bill. It's time to get going.
All right.
Yeah, it was very nice to hear you emphatically speak that more than once. Yeah, time to get off the dime.
Okay, good. All right, county staff update.
Minor repairs were done on the exhibit hall, fixed the roof leaks.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
We got a few quotes for some curbing on the asphalt that exceeded my expectations, so we'll look at other ways to do it. Other than that, not really any forward movement.
Maybe that curbing can be part of what we talk about in December.
I think it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
The price per foot of it was
pretty expensive.
So.
Yeah.
So, from my perspective in this seat over the last couple of years, I've observed that the Harney Street building is in pretty sad shape.
Yeah.
So, are we going to do something to it in the next year that will take care of the major problems we've heard about in terms of water and sewerage and rodents and...
Well, again, we need to have this staff meeting, if you will, in December.
Okay.
And see what everybody's kind of come up with, and then I could perhaps intelligently address your question, but not till then.
Okay, very good.
So I guess at least as part of that discussion, in addition to the looking at the broader utility improvements, I mean, like if there's a way, I don't know what you'd even call it, since, you know, people were pointing out to me, and I've noticed before, you know, just the metal goes right down to the, you know, the metal walls go right down to the slab, and I don't know.
Well, we characterized it as a recapitalization of the utilities, but I think that probably when it's all said and done, the package will include some additional things that we have talked about here. I can't tell you just what.
Yeah, if there may be something to weatherproof, rodent-proof.
It may very well be that we need to do some things like that in conjunction with utilities for preservation of the structure.
Right.
So I don't want to close the door on those things at the moment. I need to have this meeting with the folks that are working on this.
And let me do a further process clarification on this, if I could. And Wayne, correct me, please. You know, when we passed the 2007 room tax measure that set up this fair facilities fund, I said we didn't really have a formal process to determine procedurally how it would be allocated. But in most cases, you know, essentially we've let the fair board approve expenditures from that fund.
Yes, and Dan,
but
the Board of Commissioners is aware. The rest of the board is aware of what we're doing. So
right.
They're kept in the loop in that sense. If there was any issue with what's going on here, they're going to raise that issue.
And so just because we're talking about the first really substantial, you know, instead of, you know, 2,000 here, 10,000 there, this is the first time we're really talking about a six-figure expenditure out of that fund. We're just going to go even more out of the way to make sure it's vetted with the Board of Commissioners.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
After we give our blessing. I just
right.
want to make that clear to people.
Right. That's
so with regard to capacity, Emily, is there anything outstanding that has to be done? I mean, if you could state publicly, that would improve the capacity of that building for your usage?
So, like, have you had any water, sewer, electrical problems, or?
That's something Charlie is probably more familiar with.
So, if you could just touch base with him and let us know.
Drainage.
I can use the shortcomings of that building are many.
Yeah.
It's an asphalt floor.
Uh huh.
There is no plumbing. The outdoor toilets that are adjacent to it were poorly positioned, and that entire structure needs to be demoed and redone. The electrical is way it was designed as an exhibit,
right? Not for the kind
floral
of
exhibit.
Yet.
So the outlet spacing is, you know, 10 feet. The actual power to the building is way less than what would be necessary to operate what we're doing now. You know, ideally that would be wired as any other, as a standard commercial building would be wired. But right now, it is wired as a bully bar, as an outbuilding.
Oh.
So it's the use of it right now exceeds what the building was planned for.
Okay.
So there would need to be electrical upgrade, more outlets, better lighting, a real floor, and brand new toilets, brand new water feed and restrooms. I mean,
so again, you know, I guess in, you know, my initial thought, I don't know how everybody else feels, but especially given the heavy use that the building gets, and given the fact that they're going to be there at least into 2019 and potentially much, much longer, I'd like to see some investments made to address at least some of that, while at the same time not wanting to pour too much in case there is a relocation to somewhere else. Does that make sense at all?
It's a balancing act for sure.
Keep that in mind as you evaluate it, please.
Right. Now, there's two factors here. One is the need, which is what you've been talking about, what makes sense. The other is a code issue.
Yeah.
As Jack knows, if we go in and start touching the electrical,
then
we may need to go and do some things in this structure simply to make code,
right,
as opposed to necessarily making great financial sense.
Right.
So you have to think about what we're talking about in both those terms. One is, what do we really need to do to make the structure more pretty reasonably usable for the next 4, 5, 6 years? At minimum. And second, is there some component of this that we're going to have to do simply because it's going to be a code requirement?
Right.
I don't know the answers to any of those questions yet. Again, that's what we're working on trying to come up with for you.
I'm just curious, how many square feet is that building?
Offhand, I couldn't tell you.
Oh.
I'd have to go back to documentation.
We've always been told or heard 4,000.
No. No, it's not 34,000.
No, 4,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
4,000.
4,000, okay.
That makes about right.
That makes about 10. That includes
the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
That includes the offices, I believe, that
4,000.
They don't have access to.
I very much doubt, for instance, we're going to talk in our project about putting in a new floor in this structure.
But yeah.
We will probably, by the same token, be talking about electrical improvements.
And plumbing, maybe.
Code issues, possibly plumbing. So
yeah, that's the kind of thing that makes sense.
Right, it's going to be some part, but not all, I think, of basically the deficiencies that Jack's laid out.
Yeah.
It's going to be what makes sense in light of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and then to me, at least my initial thinking, being a non-facilities person, then if the building stays and the whole plan, in the final plan, then that's when you look at doing the floor and other other.
Right, there may be some things as part of that project. Okay.
Interesting. All right, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we're adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.